Air Preserving EQ Moves on Vintage Brakes, Beginner Edition. If you've ever loaded up an Amen or a Think brake, got excited about that crispy top end, then you touched a cue and suddenly it went flat, dull, or weirdly brittle, this lesson is for you. Today we're going to do a set of simple, repeatable EQ moves in Ableton Live that keep the brake's air intact. And by air, I mean that papery sparkle, the cymbal sheen, and the tiny bit of room tone that makes the loop feel alive. The goal is modern drum and bass clarity, without murdering the character. Here's what we're building: a clean, punchy, airy break that can sit on top of a modern DNB drum bus, plus a workflow you can repeat every time. We'll do sub-cleanup, we'll tame harshness without low-passing, we'll add air gently, we'll use mid-side EQ so the air can be wide while the punch stays centered, and then we'll do the secret weapon: a parallel AIR return you can automate for intros, drops, and fills. Alright, let's set up. Step 0. Set up your break like a DNB producer. Create an audio track and drop in a classic break. Amen, Think, Funky Drummer, Hot Pants, whatever you've got. Set your project tempo somewhere around 170 to 175 BPM. I'll aim at 174. Now warping matters a lot here, because warping can absolutely dull the top end. So before you start fixing with EQ, get the warp feeling right. Turn warp on. Start with warp mode set to beats. Set preserve to transients, and set the envelope somewhere around 10 to 30. Lower values tend to keep it sharper, higher values smooth it out. If it sounds crunchy or facey, you've got options. Try Complex Pro for a smoother stretch, but know it can soften drums. Or stay on beats and manually tighten warp markers instead of forcing it. Quick reality check. If the break feels less airy after warping, that's normal. Don't panic EQ yet. First, make the warp as good as possible. Before we even EQ, one coach move that makes this whole process easier: gain staging. Vintage breaks are often hot, clipped, or already saturated, so put a utility before EQ8 and pull the gain down around -6 to -12 dB. This is not about making it quieter forever, it's about giving your devices headroom so you can actually hear what your EQ is doing, especially in the highs. When things are too hot, you'll think you're EQing air, but you're really just driving distortion somewhere later in the chain. Cool. Now step 1. Clean the sub and low mud without thinning the break. Drop EQ 8 right after that utility. The first job is rumble control, not tone. Add a high pass filter. Use a 24 dB per octave slope. Set it around 30 to 45 Hz, and I want you to start at about 35 Hz. Listen to what happens to the weight of the snare and kick inside the break. If you push that cutoff too high, the break gets papery in a bad way, like all crack, no body. Then, optional but super common, a low mid dip. Put a bell around 180 to 300 Hz. Start around 250 Hz. Use a EQ of about 1.2 to 2.0, so it's not surgical. Pull it down 1 to 3 dB. And here's the decision. If you're layering modern one-shot kick and snare under the break, you can cut more low end from the break, because it's mostly there for texture and movement. But if the break is your main drum vibe, cut less. You want it to still feel like a drum loop, not like someone shaking a bag of hats. Step 2. Preserve air by cutting harshness, not highs. This is the big mindset shift. Beginners hear harshness and they slap a low-pass filter on the break. That removes life, not the problem. The move is, find the harsh band and trim it so the real air above it can breathe. In EQ 8, add a bell. Temporarily boost it by about +6 dB. Set the Q between 3 and 6, kind of narrow. Now sweep. When you sweep around 3 to 6 kHz, you'll often find brittle snare edge or harsh hat tick. When you sweep around 6 to 9 kHz, you might find fizzy grain like cheap brightness or scratchiness. When you find the spot that makes you wince, stop. Now flip that boost into a cut. Set it to -1 to -4 dB. Set the Q around 2 to 5. Try not to go ultra surgical unless there's a specific whistling frequency. Teacher note: if you cut and suddenly the snare feels smaller, the loop loses personality, it's often not that you found the wrong frequency, it's that your cue's too narrow or your cut is too deep. Make the cue wider, reduce the cut amount, and you'll often keep the character while still removing the annoying part. Also, do not do this only in solo. You can find the frequency in solo, but you should confirm the amount in the mix. A break that sounds smooth alone can vanish behind bass and synths. Step 3. Add air safely with a very gentle shelf, or a tilt. Only after you've trimmed harshness do we add actual air. And we do it with tiny moves. In EQ 8, add a high shelf at about 10 to 12 kHz. Set the gain to +0.5 to +2 dB. Keep the Q wide and smooth, around 0.5 to 0.8. If the brake is already pretty bright and your shelf starts turning the snare into sandpaper, do a tilt-style move instead. That means you make a tiny dip around 5 to 7 kHz, maybe minus 1 dB, and a tiny shelf up at 12 kHz, maybe plus 1 dB. The brake stays bright, but the edge relaxes, and the true air stays. Now a super practical checking tool. Add spectrum after EQ8. When you boost air, you want to see the gentle lift above about 10 kHz. If you see a big mound forming around 6 to 8 kHz, that's usually fizz, not air. It might sound exciting for 10 seconds, but it gets tiring fast and it'll turn to hash on phone speakers. And while we're being disciplined, a/B correctly. If you boost a shelf even slightly, the brake gets louder and your brain goes oh nice, better. So level match. You can use EQ8's output, or put a utility after EQ and adjust gain so bypass and active are basically the same loudness. Then decide if it's actually better. Step 4. Mid-side EQ. Keep air wide. Keep punch centered. This is huge for brakes. The air often feels best on the side cymbals, room reflections, stereo texture. But the snare crack and punch usually wants to live in the middle. In EQ8, switch the mode to M/S. On the side channel, add a high shelf at 10 to 14 kHz. Boost plus 1 to plus 3 dB. Again, wide Q, around 0.5 to 0.8. On the mid-channel, if the snare is getting harsh, dip around 4 to 6 kHz by 1 to 3 dB. You can optionally add a super gentle high shelf on the mid, like plus 0 to plus 1 dB at 12 kHz, but a lot of the time you don't need it. Let the sides carry the sparkle. Result: the loop feels airy and wide without stabbing you in the face with snare brightness. Quick caution: always do a mono check after you do side boosts. Put a utility on the master temporarily, set width to 0%, and listen. If the air disappears or gets weird, that's phase interaction. It's not necessarily bad EQ. It's stereo information fighting in mono. In that case, reduce how much you're boosting on the sides, or manage width, just for the very top later. Step 5. The parallel AIR chain. Save brightness without ruining the original. Instead of forcing brightness onto the main brake track, we'll build a return track that only adds the air band. This gives you control and it makes automation easy. Create a return track and name it AAIR. On your brake track, turn up send a very lightly. Start around minus 18 dB to minus 10 dB. Start low. You want to feel it more than hear it. On the AAIR return, build this chain. First, EQ8. And here's the fun part. High pass really high. Use a 6 to 12 dB per octave slope around 6 to 8 kHz. Yes, we're filtering out everything except the top. Then add a high shelf at 12 to 16 kHz, boosting plus 2 to plus 5 dB. This is your air-only tone control. Next, saturator. Set the mode to soft sine or analog clip. Drive around 1 to 4 dB. The point here is density and presence, not crunchy distortion. Then adjust output so the return doesn't just jump in level. Then, compressor. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack 10 to 30 milliseconds, release 50 to 120 milliseconds. Aim for about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. This helps the air stay consistent instead of spiking only on loud hat hits. Optional, add utility. If you want a little extra width, try 120 to 160%. Be tasteful. If it gets facey or disappears in mono, back it down. Advanced but simple upgrade. Instead of widening the whole AIR return, you can do mid-side EQ on the AIR return and brighten only the side channel above 10 to 12 kHz. That gives you air on the sides without messing with the whole stereo picture. Now listen to what you've built. Your original brake keeps its natural tone, and you're blending in a controlled layer of sparkle. This is way safer than boosting the main track by 5 dB at 12 kHz and hoping for the best. Step 6. Put it in a D&B drum context. Air is relative. It depends on what else is in the drum bus. A simple D&B layout looks like this. Your processed brake, a clean kick one shot, a clean snare one shot, optional hats or rides, and then all of those grouped into a drum bus. The AIR return stays as your parallel top layer. On the drum bus group, add glue compressor. Set attack to 10 milliseconds, release to auto ratio 2 to 1. Aim for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. We're gluing, not flattening. Optionally, after glue, at EQ8, if you need just a touch more shine, a tiny shelf plus 0.5 to plus 1 dB at 12 kHz, or if it's boxy, a tiny dip around 300 hz, like minus 1 dB. Now let's talk arrangement, because this is where the AIR return becomes musical. Think of air as a section marker. In the intro, keep it a little darker, AIR send around minus 18. In the build, slowly bring the AIR return up and maybe introduce hats. On the first hit of the drop, you might actually pull the AIR down slightly so the drop feels heavier and more solid. Then after 8 bars, bring it back up for momentum. And here's a really deep NB move. On the last bar of a 16 bar loop, automate a small sparkle lift. Either push the AIR send a couple dB or automate a tiny shelf boost on the AIR return. It makes fills feel intentional without turning the entire drop into a bright wash. Common mistakes to avoid as you do all this. Don't low pass the break just because it's harsh. You remove life, not the problem. Don't overboost 6 to 8k HC. That's often fizz and edge, not true air. Don't use super steep high pass filters like 48 dB per octave at 80 HC unless you know exactly why. That will thin breaks fast. Don't EQ only in solo. Your break needs to work with bass and your clean snare. And don't over widen the top end. It can sound impressive alone and then fold weird in mono. Two extra pro variations you can try later, even as a beginner. First, dynamic harshness control instead of a permanent dip. Use multiband dynamics as a gentle tamer. Set it to 3 bands. Solo the high band and set the crossover around 5 to 7 kHz. Then use mild downward compression so it clamps only when the hats or snare get spitty. This keeps ghost notes and room tone brighter while controlling peaks. Second, two-stage EQ. Do your sub cleanup early, then do tone shaping later after saturation or compression. Saturation can reintroduce grit up top, so doing a tiny finishing EQ at the end can sound more natural than trying to nail everything with one EQ8 at the start. Alright, me practice exercise. This is your 15 to 20 minute challenge. Load a break and warp it to 174 BPM. Add utility, pull gain down 6 to 12 dB. Add EQ8, high pass at 35 HC. Dip 250 HC by 2 dB. Find a harsh spot between 4 and 8 kHC and dip it. Add a shelf plus 1 dB at 12 kHC. Switch EQA to M/S. On the sides, add plus 2 dB shelf at 12 kHz. Create return AIR with the air-only EQ, a touch of saturation, and light compression. Then automate the break send A. Intro at minus 18, drop at minus 12, fill bars at minus 9. Now resample or bounce 16 bars and a slash B two versions, with the AIR return and without. Then do the mono test, put utility on the master, set width to 0%, and see if your sparkle stays stable. This audio version is shortened for playback.